Welcome in to this edition of the Pick a Side Podcast, College Picks. What is it, week 10?
Week 10, double
Jesus
digits.
Jesus Christ. We're in the final month of the season. And You know what? I'm happy about it.
I'm ready to get some like conference championships, some playoff games.
I am too, because of the we have not gotten an elite slate this year. Really.
This was supposed to be one.
This was the elite slate.
Yeah. I know it sucks.
Shout out Penn State and LSU, and I mean LSU's
Florida.
On bye, but like shout out Penn State and Florida for just making this useless, for making this suck. Like, think about preseason. If you had told us Penn State's not just going to miss the playoff, they're going to be 21-point dogs to Ohio State, their coach will be fired, and their quarterback will be dead.
And they're
all three of those things are true.
Under 500 as well.
Think about if you had told us Florida's not just out of contention of the SEC. Billy Napier has been fired before Halloween. That one might have been somewhat believable.
Yeah.
Think about if you told us that Brian Kelly would also be fired.
Yep.
That Clemson would be sitting at 3-4 below 500 and a dog this weekend.
Yep. That's college football in 2025 this year. It is quick triggers for a lot of these head coaches, and even like some of the small ones too that could have been good games, like Texas Tech, Kansas State, could have been a top 25 matchup. Instead, you've got Texas Tech and you've got the corpse of Avery Johnson. South Carolina and Ole Miss, that's another one that could have been a good game.
Could have been great. Miami SMU.
Yep.
There were so many opportunities for great games that have just turned into tire fires.
Yeah.
And that's like, I kept looking forward at the slate. We're not going to get an elite slate this year, I don't think.
No?
Even rivalry weekend doesn't feel like next weekend you get Bama LSU, but everything's been snuffed out of that.
Yeah, I haven't forecasted too much. But I will say, you know what game I am when we do get to rivalry week, what I'm very excited for?
To finally house Ohio State to beat Michigan by multiple touchdowns?
No. Georgia Tech. It was awesome last year.
That is going to be fun.
And this year, there's like, we know it has the potential to be awesome, and there's big time stakes attached too.
That is going to be fun. Yeah, I'm looking through all of these, and there's no ranked matchups. There's no marquee games on any slate the rest of the year. So it's the first time where we're doing this, and it's like, I'm not wishing the season away. I am actually wishing the season away. I'm ready to get to conference title games and have genuine matchups.
Yeah.
I'm ready to like talk about really good games. We have a couple, but it's been sparse. That hasn't meant we've lacked for entertainment, and we've done well in college. So let's dive in, and we'll start with Penn State, Ohio State, which I think, despite some of the magic being taken out of this, is still one of the premium games to watch. Two premium Big Ten brands. It's Fox Big Noon kickoff. The point spread's out of whack. Ohio State's a 20.5-point favorite, latest number. Total 44.5. They're basically telling you Penn State's not going to score because, again, they don't have a coach, they don't have a quarterback, and they suck. Can you ever lay 20.5 with Ohio State? I think it's the only way to bet the game if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, especially if you're going to – it feels like they're trying to bait you inside of something here with not giving you the full three touchdowns.
I know.
Right? I was looking at totals. I was thinking, maybe an under.
No,
it's such a low number that I'm not that intrigued. Ohio State, I think, could get there by themselves, too.
It's a low number that's not low enough. You know what I mean? Like, if this were 34.5, I'd be like, well, let's just fire it. But
or to be honest, if it was 49.5, I'd probably be like, yeah, I could get behind that. But
yeah, like if it were a little higher or a little lower, I could really get into it. But it's just in this no man's land where I don't think you have a ton of advantage. Like, it's not they're so low, we got to go under it. And it's also not high enough that I feel comfortable going under the number. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody at home. I think that's peak gambler brain.
Yeah.
Like, I just mental gymnastics my way and then not making a play. That's all good with me. So, is there no action on this game?
I've got none.
The one thing I'm watching for, like, I would, if I had to bet it, I'd lay Ohio State. But my question is, Ryan Day is already not really a run-up-the-score guy. And now that Penn State's fired their coach, he's really got nothing to gain here. Like, this is just a...
It's just a game.
Get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, stay healthy and get out. They'd be happy to win 14-0, I have to imagine.
For sure. 14-0 and come out of it with a clean bill of health, yeah.
And I think that's what you're seeing with the spread and the total the way it is, because I do think Ohio State is significantly better than Penn State, but the total sitting at 44.5 is telling you Ohio State's just going to want to power this thing down and get out of here with a dub and not worry too much about the style points. So that's where I'm staying away from it completely.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
Vandy, Texas, I am not staying away from it completely, and it leads me to my theme of the week, which is don't overthink it.
Okay.
Don't overthink it.
What you're telling me is we're about to go head-to-head.
Why? Are you on Vandy?
I'm on Texas.
Yeah, we are about to go over head-to-head.
Yeah.
Because I looked at this and I said, Vandy, short dog at Texas. I know it's Austin, but Vandy's just clearly the better team. Diego Pavia, assassin. Clark Lee's built a program. Like all the things we've talked about, Texas side should have lost to Mississippi State, frankly. I still don't know if Arch is any good.
I will say this. He's playing better.
Yeah, that's true. Better.
For about 350 and three touchdowns. Now, will he play in this game is a whole another question.
Like Waddle says about Caleb, all that means is you've seen him play worse.
Yeah, but like Mississippi State, at the end of the game, and I know there was the punt return touchdown and all that in there too, but 350 and three touchdowns is good stuff.
What scared me a little bit, because initially I'm like, I think it's the Texas side because it's laying 2.5. Overthink. Texas is public here, which I found interesting. And I know that shouldn't be surprising. Texas is a publicly bet team. But the idea that Vandy is a dog isn't public, despite being the higher-ranked team, despite being the better story nationally. I found that interesting. And that led me to, I liked Vandy at the start, and they're not a public dog. I don't overthink this. Vandy +2.5. Mm-hmm.
I'm on the other side here, because even if we get Matthew Caldwell instead of Arch Manning, they play very similar type of games. Caldwell threw the touchdown in overtime, too. And the only time Vandy's really seen a defense like this came against Bama. And that's when I think we saw Vandy get exposed a little bit. To be honest, last week against Mizzou wasn't all that impressive to me. Like, if we get that sort of offensive output against this Texas team, I think Texas wins this game comfortably, like 10 to 13 points comfortably. And I just think we could see something like that, because I think this Texas team is better than Mizzou, especially on the defensive side of the football. So I'm going to roll with Texas here. I think people may be trying to get a little too cute on the Vanderbilt side of this because they've been the great story, because they've been the higher rated team for the bulk of the season. And I just think that Texas is starting to find its rhythm a little bit, and they've got their path now set for them to make it to the college football playoff. Even though they come into this game ranked 20th in the AP poll, they're very much alive. You've got Vandy, then you've got Georgia, Arkansas, and A&M.
Yep.
You're 3-1 right now in the SEC, but you've got head-to-heads with three of the teams that are above you. So
the challenge will be winning all of those games, which I don't think they're capable of doing. I think they're not going to make the playoff. And I think it starts this weekend. I just have a feeling Vandy wins outright.
All right.
Skip over some of the slop. We'll stick with the big-time games. Georgia, Florida, world's greatest cocktail party.
Yeah.
Let me read you my note. Here we go again. What the fuck? 7.5? Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
How
did they get in this number?
Why does it happen every fucking week?
You know what? I looked at the numbers too. They're 1-3 against the spread when this is the number that's being thrown out there.
I know, and you know what? I think the one time that they covered it is the one time I faded them.
The Texas game, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think it's Georgia, personally, laying 7.5. The fear here is Florida's coming off a bye.
Well, here's where I would say the flip side of that, I think it helps for the Georgia side. Because I like Georgia. They fired Napier.
You don't get the immediate coach bump.
Well, not just that. What do you think that bye week spent doing for all these guys? They're trying to find their next destinations. They're trying to, like, assistant coaches. All right, call up all your buddies. Call up your agent. Hey, where can you get me next year?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Players, too. They're looking for, all right, NIL, where am I going to go for the next year? Where am I going to hit the portal for? And I looked at who they elevated to the interim head coach. It's their wide receivers coach, Billy Gonzalez. He wasn't some, like, big-time recruiter that I think these guys are going to, like, pound the table. We're not looking at a Marcus Freeman situation here, where these guys are going to go balls to the wall for this guy. Like, I actually really love this Georgia play this week. Right. And, like, I was looking through at, like, the Billy Gonzalez recruiting rankings. He's, like, nowhere to be found on a lot of these things. And I think those are the type of guys where, Let's say this was the guy who recruited DJ Lagway. His head's still going to be in it because this is the guy who brought him to Florida.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to have that for a lot of these guys with Billy Gonzalez.
Okay. I have leaned to Georgia side anyway because obviously they're good and Florida blows. Georgia's defense left me a little suspect the Ole Miss game. The bad Georgia defense showed up, similar to they did against Tennessee. They looked okay against Bama, but again, they lost.
They locked down Ole Miss in that fourth quarter.
That's true. The fourth quarter was old school Kirby. I mean, you give up 1 yard when the game is in the balance.
No first downs after allowing touchdowns on the first five possessions.
And it did lead to them covering the 7.5. It's a Georgia team I really do like. A quarterback I like. I'm with you. I'll lay it. Right. It's the way I felt going in anyway. My fear was the bye week and the coach bump, but you make a great point.
That doesn't exist in college anymore.
True.
I think it's gone.
We saw it with the Oklahoma State picking on the coach bump, and they just suck. So fair. And also the idea that preparing for a game becomes the distraction, and they don't have that distraction when they have the bye, and instead they can just start building their path. Yeah. I think that's a great point by you. Okay, we'll keep it moving through the good games because I got a lot of fucking slop here. Let's do Tennessee-Oklahoma,
right,
and then we'll get to the rat shits.
All right.
That's how light this slate is, guys. Wow. Tennessee-Oklahoma, Tennessee laying 3 at home, totals 56.5. You know, if you've been listening all year, and you know, I love me the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
And I love me a little John Mateer. But what did I say last week about the Vols? They have games like this every year where they seduce you. They make you believe that they're real.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably aren't. This is a spot where I think Tennessee, once again, coming off fucking whooping Kentucky's ass, gets back home, Neyland at night, one of the most difficult environments in all of college football to play in, against an Oklahoma team. The fear that I'm fading my Sooners is, one, they're desperate. And maybe you get the best out of Mateer against a Tennessee defense I think is gettable. But I just think Tennessee's better.
I'm with you. Tennessee, I love Tennessee this week with the 3. And you get them at home. And let's call it what it is at this point. Mateer has not been what he was before the hand injury.
He's sucked. And we don't even have to say he hasn't been what he was. He's sucked.
And the defense, the wheels have started to fall off on that thing too. I mean, you saw them get exposed a little bit last week against Ole Miss. And let's not act like they've gone through some juggernaut offensive schedule either. The Power Conference teams that you've played are South Carolina, Texas, Auburn, and Michigan. This is the best offense you're going to face all season long, an offense that can get explosives. I'm really not in on where Oklahoma is right now. I like Tennessee a lot this weekend, and I just think they're an offense that's going to keep cruising. I feel like some of these SEC teams, Georgia I think is another one, they've kind of lulled us to sleep after some of these early season losses, and to a degree Bama too. I mean, Bama looks great right now, but some of these teams really just lulled us to sleep after the loss because we're conditioned to what the old college football way used to be. Early loss, your season's effectively over. But early loss has not hurt any of these teams, and all of a sudden they're just kind of picking up a little bit of steam. I would throw Texas in that boat as well.
I think this was a loss last year, but I just wanted to double check to make sure I'm right on what the environment is this year or this week for Tennessee. Dark mode.
Ooh.
Tennessee's going dark mode against Oklahoma at home, okay. Neyland at night. It's a blackout for the fans.
I like that.
I believe they lost that game last year, but
wasn't it against someone better than this? Wasn't this I don't think it was.
I think
Bama.
It was Alabama.
Was it Bama? I want to say it was Bama or Georgia.
I'm gonna double check. I thought it was Bama. Oh no, they did win.
Oh.
It was Kentucky last year, 28-7.
That's a waste.
And they did beat Kentucky. Okay. All right. I'm gonna bet in the dark mode. I had a memory of them losing one of the dark mode games.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
Did they wear the black unis in the playoff game?
No.
No?
No, and I wouldn't have cared because I was all over Ohio State.
I know, yeah. But I'm trying to think if that's what it was, but.
No, I do remember. Whatever. I'm going into dark mode. I like Tennessee laying 3 here.
All right.
And it's one of my favorite environments in college football.
Yeah.
I'm going to I want to watch the game. I'm going to want action on it.
Yeah.
I'm all in on Tennessee.
Let's do it.
Okay. I have to get to some of the ratchet stuff, unless there's any other standout game that you see that you want to talk about.
Not really. I mean, I've got like some Big 10, Big 12, and you know my Bulldogs are back in action too.
Jesus, dude, not again. Credit to you getting it right last week, but Jesus, the Mississippi State rides are fucking scary.
They're fun. Okay. They're winning too.
I'm going to start in the SEC.
All right.
Or ACC, apologies. Okay. Miami SMU.
Okay.
This should have been a landmark game. SMU's been bad this year, but I'm going to take you back to an old friend of yours.
Okay.
And we're going to dip into the well of the SMU over.
I looked at this. I tried to get there. I just think Miami's defense might be a little too good for this.
It's 50 and a half. You don't even need that many points, and Miami's capable of getting you 30 of them. It's a home game for SMU, so the better defense is dealing with the crowd being an adversary. You know SMU's going to be in passing scenarios because Miami is much better than them. We know SMU can score points. We know they're going to play quickly. And it's 50 and a half. And it's got a good cash differential. Everything's lining up for us. You don't have to take it. I'm going to play the over on the SMU game.
You know what? I don't have a lot of action this week. I'll join you. I'll join you. You've talked me into it enough. I wanted to get there. 50 and a half, yeah. It's not like...
Beautiful.
I don't know if I had NFL brain when I was looking at this, but...
I'm locking it in. Yeah, it's not a high total.
Yeah.
Like, the SMU totals we've typically gone over on like are in the 60s.
Or 60, yeah.
Like, think about where this number has been the last few weeks. 57 against Syracuse to start the month. 55.5 against Stanford. 49.5, but that was involving Clemson on the road, and it comfortably went over. Last week, 52.5, weird spot. Wake Forest beats them 13-12. Like... We're talking in September, 65.5, 60.5, 63.5, 64.5 to open the season in August. We're getting a 50.5 in an SMU total with a Miami offense that can abuse their defense.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Deal. Throw one at me.
All right. Iowa State, 7.5-point favorite at home against Arizona State.
Fuck them forever. Absolutely fuck them forever.
But that's part of why I'm back in this week.
No, it's the I know you're betting Iowa State. They're the only side you can.
Fluke shit that happened in that game. And now you get on the other side. Arizona State's going to be without Sam Levitt.
Know,
last time
they
had
suck.
That, it was 42-10 against Utah.
I know. Everything you're saying is right.
Completely broken team without him.
Everything you're saying is right. I cannot bet on Matt Campbell ever again in my life. As long as he's the coach at Iowa State, he will never receive my money again. Dude, I used a fucking quad bomb on this clown. And I know it was a bunch of fluke shit, but then the flip side of it is a bunch of fluke shit ended your season. You're no longer in contention to win the Big 12. You're no longer in contention to go to the playoff. And now you're in a super sleepy spot at home in Ames against an Arizona State team with no Sam Levitt, where the crowd's not going to give a fuck because you inserted your head into your own anus.
But it's also Ames, Iowa. What the hell else is there to do besides go to the Cyclone game?
Yeah, but my point is the environment will be sleepy where otherwise it might have been raucous. Like, if you were still in line to win the Big 12 and go to the playoff... In Rocco Beck's final season.
I don't know if any team in the Big 12 truly thinks they're out. Like, let me see. Where exactly is Iowa State right now?
That's fantastic. I hope Iowa State doesn't think they're out. I got news for them. You're out. You're fucking out.
There were teams in this situation last year that
made a
run.
What's the line in Eastbound and Down? You're fucking out.
I haven't watched that show in forever. All right. What else you got?
Indiana, Maryland.
Okay.
And I'm dusting off the totals book once again.
Wow, look at you.
Are we aligned here?
We got a little Freaky Friday action going on.
Over 50 and a half. Indiana, Maryland. I don't trust Indiana necessarily to cover a 3-touchdown spread. Mm-hmm. There's something funky about a 21.5 where you got to have the hook on the wrong side of 3 touchdowns. But if they are going to put up a margin like that, they probably score 50 points themselves. Which they are more than capable of doing. They've done it consistently, except for whatever reason. When Kurt Cignetti, who hates everybody, decided he doesn't hate Jonathan Smith that fucking much. But you look at their scoring all year. Like 56 last week against UCLA.
Yeah.
30 against Oregon, which is like scoring 60 against anyone else, 63 against Illinois. I think we have an option, or not an option, but like a value point here where we can hit an over on this number. Yeah.
I like Maryland. I'm going to play Maryland with the spread here, 21.5.
So they've covered. Correlated.
We're not correlated, but I think we can get like a.
No, I actually like that because even if it's
a 40-24 game.
Yeah, if it's 38-17, we're both happy.
Yeah. I think we can get there. Like looking at this, IU's only gone on the road twice this year. It was that sleepy game against Iowa. They won by 5. And then it was the Oregon game where you just poured your soul into that game and go out and outright upset the Ducks. Maryland's been a covering machine for the most part this season. And to be honest, I'm really just kind of betting on Maryland. Listen, Indiana's going to win this game outright. No doubt about it in my mind. But I think Maryland can do enough to slow down the offense of Indiana just enough. Mm-hmm. And just enough could mean they still go out and score 35 points. I just, on the flip side, only need 14 out of Maryland.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to take us to Texas Tech, Kansas State.
Okay.
Do you have anything here?
I don't, but I looked at it.
Because I was fearing that we would go in opposite directions. Texas Tech's been a little inconsistent for me. Mm-hmm. I know last week, obviously, they bludgeoned Oklahoma State, but that's like beating up some guy in a wheelchair. Like, it's just, at some point, you just let your foot off the gas because nobody's fighting back.
Yeah.
Like, it's Oklahoma State's not a real program, is the point that I'm making. Offensively, been a little inconsistent. Obviously, quarterback injury has played a part in that. Their backup quarterback is now hurt. Baron Morton has struggled with injuries, the starter all season. Now they're in a real trick bag. If Baron Morton has anything flare up, has to leave this game, gets hurt for whatever reason, they don't even have a backup. And I also just kind of think spot-wise, K-State at home getting 7.5. You'll notice I've stayed away from the Kansas Jayhawk spots this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas State, there's been a couple spots I've picked them.
Kansas State.
I won the most recent. I don't like Kansas State very much.
Jayhawks is better.
What I like is Shea State.
Shea State. Okay.
Yes. So I am in on K-State plus the 7.5 this weekend against Texas Tech.
Okay.
And I know I'm fading.
Home game, right? Yeah.
It's a home K-State. Game for K-State, for Shea State. I know I'm fading the best defensive line in the country. Mm-hmm. But there's just, if you've watched them the last couple weeks, especially the Arizona State game, there's something that just, it doesn't look right. Like, I think they can potentially get into the playoff and cause enough chaos that they'd win a national title. But there's just something when you watch them play that looks wrong.
Yeah.
And I think 7.5 going on the road against a Kansas State team that, like, look, they're not good, but they've been lined every week more similarly to what they were expected to be than how bad the record looks. I kind of just think this is a Shea State spot.
Okay. I don't hate it there. I'll root for you. I'm not going to dive on in. But yeah, like Texas Tech, the vibe that I've kind of gotten from them when they've been dealing with the quarterback turbulence is they're kind of like what Utah's been the last couple of years, like the Cam Rising Utah teams.
Yeah.
Wait, listen, you know the defense is going to go out there and just be a force. But offensively, it's you don't know what you're going to get game to game.
Yeah.
With that team, so
it's a really good comp. And then there's also every week it feels like the backup would come in. Baron Morton would get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see the backup. He'd play well. And people were like, do we need Baron Morton back? And then you put Baron Morton back in and he plays well. It's just every week is some weird little inconsistency and it never looks like a complete team.
Yep.
What do you got?
All right, last one for me.
I got three more, so let's see if you knock one of our.
I don't think I will, because you know what my last play here is. Mississippi State, a 4.5-point dog on the road. What does this team do? They cover games. They were so close to victory last week. So close. They tasted it. Going up against a ranked Texas team, too, at home, 7.5-point home dog. They still find a way to cover, but they didn't win. This is the week they outright win. You're facing Arkansas. It's on the road. Bobby Petrino, don't know why we're still trying to make that happen. By the way, have you seen the total in this game?
Mm-hmm.
67.5. Arkansas, I mean, they haven't beaten a team of consequence all season long. Even when they have been favored in games, they outright lose.
We're playing the wrong thing.
You want to go higher?
Yep. I think you should leave Mississippi State off your board. This is me as a friend. I think you should leave Mississippi State off your board. I really wanted to bet Arkansas here.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I'm not is because they fucked me last week. So it's again,
they've
like
done that a lot to a lot of people.
Much like Iowa State, I'm like, I fuck them. I think it is the Arkansas play, like Mississippi State, one of the most public dogs of the week. Mm-hmm. And as frisky as they are, like, do you want to get into an overtime where you're sweating holding a 4.5 against Arkansas?
Yes, I do. With this team, yes, I fucking do.
Do your thing. Will you add over with me?
I'll join over with you.
I think over 67.5 is the better way to play this. It's such a massive number. They go high, we go higher.
I'll double up on it.
Overtime potential in the game. Mm-hmm. And the Bobby Petrino thing, by the way, they're trying to make that happen so that the AD can shut the fuck up all the people who want Bobby Petrino to be the head coach. That's why. By the way, did you see the Louisiana state governor yesterday?
I did.
Holy mercy.
Incredible.
I'd rather have the President Trump pick the coach. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What do you do if you're the AD at a school and the governor of your state is like, you're fucking incompetent. I'd have anybody in the world pick the coach over you.
Listen, he's been catching all the shit, and rightfully so lately, because he's the same guy who hired Jimbo Fisher at A&M.
Yep. There was another one in his past, too, that was terrible, but I can't think of what it was. He's just, his resume's awful.
He cannot make the hire.
All right. I've got three games left.
All right.
They're all gross.
Let's hear them.
I'm going to see if I can get you on any of them. Cal at home against Virginia, a ranked Virginia team that the last couple weeks has not looked the part at all. They have played badly. And they've kept winning, and they're in the running to win the ACC and get to the college football playoff, but they have not looked the part of a top 25 team. And now they get the misfortune of across country travel to the Calgarithm. Cal's getting 4.5 at home. It is one of my favorite plays when it happens. I told you when we got screwed over on the Cal bet against North Carolina, I never like to bet Cal when they're a favorite, but when they're at home, when they're playing an ACC opponent in November, this is as close to Hawaii on the island as you can get on the continent. I'm taking 4.5 points with Cal.
I like it. I don't have a lot going this week, so I'll join you.
Beautiful. All right, continuing along the rat shit corridor. Adam brought this up to me, Adam Abdallah.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss laying 12.5 against South Carolina. Initially, I wanted nothing to do with this at all. Ole Miss coming off a huge win last week over Oklahoma. Lane has been dealing with the media all week, asking about Florida, asking about LSU. He's also been dealing with taking shots at Brent Venables, where Lane is just dunking him through the fucking floor. I was kind of just, is this a letdown spot for Ole Miss? But Adam brought up the point. South Carolina played their Super Bowl last week. They played Alabama within an eyelash, and they lost. And I don't know if this is the same as the old Saban physical teams where you'd say Alabama beats you not once, they beat you twice. But I do think when you get within a hair of actually beating Bama and you don't, and your reward is we got to go play Ole Miss, I don't know that you get up for this. And I still think Shane Beamer is on his way out. I think everybody believes that now. He's going to be at Virginia Tech. I don't think South Carolina is especially focused coming off the loss that really drove the stake through their season, knowing their coach is likely leaving. I'm going to lay the wood with Ole Miss.
I mean, Ole Miss just keeps proving it, too, with the way that they've won some of these games.
I tell you another, because the fear would be, is Ole Miss focused? Is Lane thinking about the departure?
I think, well, there's that part of it, but I think it's different when you're in Lane's spot where suitors are coming to you versus where you're in Beamer's spot and you're kind of trying to wiggle your way out.
I also think Lane's just going to stay at Ole Miss.
Do you?
Did you see Saban's comments this week? I thought they were fascinating.
What'd he say?
He said, who's to say that LSU and Florida are better jobs for Lane than where he's at right now?
Well, yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think the same.
I think it's especially important when Saban says it because you know Saban and Lane are talking.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. But if there's anyone that...
And also Saban wants the LSU job. Sorry, go ahead.
I think the flip side of that, though, is you look at what Lane's past is and none of it screams stability. None of it screams the conventional route.
I know.
And just when you think he's good and settled, that's when he makes the leap. And I think this could be just another instance of that.
Fair.
I think the best thing for him is to stay at Ole Miss. I just cannot say with any certainty that's going to be the move he ends up making at the end of the year.
Last game on my card. This is something we've done a lot this year. It fucked us the last time we played it, but for the most part, it's been pretty good. USC Nebraska over 58.5. USC's defense, dog shit. USC's offense, good. USC still has something to play for. Check. True. No, they don't feel especially like a playoff team. But the beauty of playing Notre Dame as one of your elite games is it isn't a conference loss. There is a world where USC can still find themselves in Indianapolis. Is it a difficult one? Yes. Do they control it? No. But the best thing they can do is keep winning. And the only way that they can do that is through their offense. Nebraska, I actually think, is able to run the football against a fucking terrible USC defense. And the fact that this is played in Lincoln, advantage Nebraska scoring points.
Yeah.
I love this to go over.
No, that's a good spot. I like this from you. I'll join you on this one, too. You know how much, I mean, I love watching this USC team play offense. It doesn't matter if they're at home, on the road, on the moon. It does not matter. They will score points. And on the flip side, yeah, Nebraska, they look like dog shit when they go on the road and try to score. But when you're at home, you can get things done. So, yeah, I like this.
Yeah, and then ultimately, like, the USC Notre Dame over that lost, which felt bad in the moment, it should have hit. By like a mile, you had a 4th-and-4 failed go situation for USC, where if you kick the field goal, game goes over.
Yep.
You had Notre Dame drive the length of the field the following possession, and CJ Carr lost his mind, dropping back 20 yards and throwing an interception, where if that ends even in 3 points, game goes over. Like, you just change two really fluky, dumb plays, and you end up with a game that easily goes over.
Yeah.
And I get you can play the same game. No kick return and the game doesn't even get close. Okay, no rain and we're all good.
Yeah.
So it just, to me, that should have gone over. We were right on it. USC overs have hit really well this year. I'm sticking with it in Lincoln.
Yeah. Look at you. Total czar this week.
I know. And a fuckload of plays. My God. All right. I'm going to break down the card real quick and then we'll get out of here. Vandy +2.5. Miami SMU over 50.5. Georgia laying 7.5. You bullied me a little bit into it, but I'm happy with it. Indiana Maryland over 50.5. Shea State +7.5. I forgot one. I left one out. I'm going to add one.
What's that?
I don't have a lot of thought here, but I'll just add it late on the card because I left it out. Minnesota laying 3, please. Oh. For the love of fucking God, somebody cover a fucking spread against the Spartans and get Jonathan Smith's ass out of town.
You're trying to Fibonacci your way back to even on this one.
Fun fact, bye week after this for Michigan State, fucking see ya. They've been waiting for it. My galaxy brain theory, and apparently Magic Johnson tweeting some fucking nonsense, has moved the boosters a little bit. Hey, Magic, it'd be nice if you spent some of your billions to get this clown out of town. Minnesota laying 3. Fuck my school. Right. California +4.5. Tennessee laying 3. Ole Miss laying 12.5. USC at Nebraska over 58.5.
All right. I've got Texas. We're going head-to-head on that one. Iowa State, a 7.5-point favorite. We're aligned on Georgia as a 7.5-point favorite. Maryland, 21.5-point dog against Indiana. I love my Bulldogs once again. Mississippi State, +4.5 on the road. And we're going to go over 67.5 in that game. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. And then the plays that you talked me into, Ole Miss, Nebraska, and USC over. And then Cal. As a home dog.
All right, that'll do it. College week 10. We'll be back with an NFL episode. May just be posted the same day. So enjoy. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll figure it out because this guy's going to Cincinnati. That'll do it for us right here on the college episode. It is the Pick Aside Podcast.